We are going to resume. We really don't have staff here, so I'm afraid we can't get too far on our own.
Yeah, we can.
We can? Okay. I know there are folks from Los Osos here on that item, and obviously we're not going to get to it until after lunch, just so you know that. County before that. Anyway, right. Okay. This is on Los Osos. I don't know where you're keeping it. Okay. Mr. Briggs.
Yes, our team got together, and Tamara Presser is going to start in terms of answering some of the issues that have some of the main issues that have come up, and Dominic and Lisa are going to chime in as necessary. I guess Dominic's actually going to start. Thanks, Dominic.
Okay, thank you. Dominic Brock with the Water Board. First words here today. We've considered many of the comments, all of the comments the board provided, and city staff and public comment, and our recommendation stands that we enroll the city under the permit today and actually approve the swamp as it is. Starting with the first issue raised by Dr. Hunter relative to public participation and public education, Tamara is looking through the swamp right now, the stormwater management plan, because she thinks that there's actually specificity in the public education component that complements the BMPs that are in public participation, which we think might be adequate or are adequate for a current starting point. And we do, of course, there is commitments and BMPs within the swamp that propose that the city will investigate alternative social marketing approaches to achieving more kind of response from the community relative to the preparation and participation in their program. But I think maybe I'll let Tamara provide you with any specifics she has. Okay, give her a couple of seconds for that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Just to clarify as I'm looking through this, were you specifically referring to stakeholder involvement meetings for related to stormwater, to the stormwater management plan? Okay, as opposed to some type of educational.
Right, not the general education raising awareness of the different kinds of problems or individual practices, you know, like gardening and washing your car and that level. I'm talking about the opportunity for folks across diverse stakeholder base, including industry, business, and beyond residential and kind of the environmental context, so that the BMPs that are in place in this program, which are going to be refined over 5 years, that has a real genuine dialogue and input and review process.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, the next issue, which is front and center, is the timing issue. And, of course, there's a proposal to actually delay enrollment, and then there's additional proposals to delay the BMPs for accomplishing development of hydro modification criteria. So we wanted to sort of break that apart a bit and kind of go over the idea of delaying enrollment. I think you've heard both the pros and cons of that. One of the cons being, you know, of course, you'll only have more BMPs to incorporate in a couple of years. But even more critically, I think that what drives that request is the sense, is a fear, in effect, that the regional board and staff won't be flexible in its administration oversight of this permit over the term of the permit. It's a 5-year permit. And I think there's a reasonable concern that, you know, the water board will hold the city to the exact standard and wording of today's adopted swamp, and that the water board and staff won't take into consideration the unique circumstances that the city may find itself in relative to economics or feasibility of technical issues. And I think what you have all been saying today, I've heard you say, is that that's not the case, that the water board will, in fact, consider your conditions. I think what staff will contribute to that will be a basic due diligence in reviewing whatever's proposed for a justification. So if after the first year it's evident that, you know, they're going to need another year, for example, to do a particular BMP, the city will really need to justify that with some reasonable information to support that adjustment. And again, when the water board acts, either administratively or through a board action, to adjust the content of this stormwater plan, it's an adjustment to the NPDES permit and is therefore becomes the new terms of that permit. The water board staff is committed to working with the city on that kind of adaptive management approach. And I think that we've tried over and over to convey that degree of flexibility. But generally, I think what you're hearing in these requests for extensions is just that fear and that doubt. And I think we can't really act on that. So we propose maintaining the current timing and expectations for delivery of, first off, for enrolling the stormwater management plan in the city, but also with respect to developing the interim criteria for hydro modification. This city is actually in a really good situation with respect to the development of interim criteria. They already have, in effect, a draft or a set of criteria that are very close to acceptable criteria. What we're proposing is really no different from what they're proposing, which is they need to reevaluate those because they've come up against some obstacles in trying to implement those. The Taco Bell, the Chevron, and the Habitat Project were examples of places where their own criteria were challenging for them to implement, and they had to work on a case-by-case basis to kind of work out a happy medium or something that would keep the project moving forward. That's precisely what we expect them to do in the first year, is to build off of those experiences. They should have been learning experiences that, you know, for example, in the case of a gas station, there are unique circumstances with regard to fuel and contaminants that need to be addressed. And so a blanket requirement of 100% infiltration, which is their standard, not ours, is something you just can't practically do. So what we're proposing is not a wholesale or wholesale, you know, throw out what you've got and start over. It's take what you've got, do what you propose to do, which is try to make those more meaningful, kind of effective standards. So in that respect, we believe that the city actually has a fairly low hurdle relative to developing these criteria. I wanted to point out that the Home Builders Association had proposed in their number one suggested change that they exempt smart growth and infill from specific BMPs or hydro modification controls. Projects that qualify according to EPA standards or EPA descriptions, and I think that's a really good example of how the city could develop its applicability criteria. It could use guidance from EPA. It could use some of the examples that we've provided of how you actually identify the kinds of projects that have obstacles to achieving full hydro modification control, and you indicate how and why you would exempt those or why you would hold them to a lower standard for either hydro modification control or how you might balance the water quality impact improvements with hydro modification or volume control. So we recognize that as, you know, an affirmative idea toward developing appropriate applicability criteria. And the swamp, as written currently in revised revisions, currently provides that flexibility. So we don't feel the city is unduly burdened in that regard. Have you found some things you want to share,
yeah.
Tamara?
Monica, I think you were right in that the swamp doesn't include a BMP that specifically says these specific target audiences will be requested to attend a stormwater management plan stakeholder meeting, but it's a little bit more vague. There is a BMP in here that says it's BMP public participation 3A. I'm not sure if that was the one you referred to earlier. No, this is the public participation and involvement in that minimum control measure. And it says that the city will hold a meeting in which the public can review and recommend amendments to the stormwater management plan and its best management practices and activities. And they commit to doing this every year of the five-year enrollment term.
And I think that's where what I'm trying to get at is mm-hmm. that there isn't clarity, and I think I've seen this in other stormwater program designs, there's not clarity between what is the goal of public education and outreach and what is the goal of public involvement. And that's why I'm looking for it in public involvement. So I think that you'll see that there's public education involved in almost all the six, mm-hmm. across the six. So it does kind of underlie everything. But in this case, what I fail to see here is mm-hmm. just that recognition that there is a process. It's a five-year program. There will be a process of development, evolution of these BMPs, review, and a lot of changes are going to be developed. And the hydro modification is huge. So if the city isn't providing a forum for that. And the way they've described it here, and I sense that from everything we heard and the tone and the manner in which they have gone about doing this work to this point, it's clear that they are thinking collaboratively mm-hmm. and they're looking at not only partnering across the cities, but clearly they understand that. But it just isn't here. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm Lisa McCann. To that point, I wondered if you would accept directing us to work with the city to work that BMP to address that into their swamp in the future.
Sure.
Instead of trying to figure out what exactly it should say now without the opportunity to discuss what's doable with the city and those they have to collaborate with.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And as I said, I think the group PP2A, B, C, and D is the appropriate place. It's kind of talking all around it in that set. It just needs to have that center point there. Great. I think that's a good solution.
Earlier, I heard you pick up on the possibility of a demonstration project, and that presents enormous possibilities with public education and outreach relative to the full spectrum of minimum control measures that the city has to address. There are a couple of points I wanted to bring up really related to the previous issue of the requirements for interim hydro modification criteria. And I think one of the distinctions that might have been lost in the way the city has framed it is that we view the need for hydro modification control to be something that is addressed over the long term, and that there's really interim requirements, meaning we need something that's working on the ground today, but we also recognize that the first effort out of the chute is not going to be successful necessarily, or is not necessarily going to provide the full protection to beneficial uses. And in order to develop the longer term criteria, it's inevitable that you need to conduct, that the city will need to conduct assessment of the watershed context, the stability of the receiving waters, the vulnerability, in effect, of the hydrology or the watershed to the effects of urban runoff. And because they can't do that in the first year, we're willing to look at interim measures. And so I think what the city's been suggesting is that what they have is pretty close to a long-term criteria, but they need a lot more time to figure out how effective it would be in the long run. And what we're proposing is that what they have is a very good beginning for interim criteria, and that we're willing to give them the time, more than 2 years, to develop the longer-term criteria that might be a combination of more specific applicability criteria and these existing interim measures. So I think that therein lies this more challenging, longer-term prospect of having to develop the watershed characterization and the assessment of watershed condition. The last thing is that we recognize that having, you know, smaller developers construct these underground vaults to retain a specific volume of runoff can be prohibitively expensive and will, in fact, deter redevelopment in places. And we certainly don't want to see a set of criteria that effectively cause that, that provide that as their only option. We think that the city, through a combination of applicability criteria and volumetric controls, could very likely arrive at alternative means of compliance where, I think I gave an example earlier, where they achieve at least some degree of improvement in hydrologic condition combined with significant improvement in water quality condition through filtration and treatment. And that is the perfect marriage in this kind of infill redevelopment context. Clearly, the imperative to go to a shoemash hydrology is not something we are dictating. We have no intent on providing that as the hydrologic baseline for every city. It does provide a good reference condition to know what a healthy watershed is, to know what your shoemash hydrology was. But frankly, that takes a while to understand the fact that urban hydrology ultimately is different, and there's no way to fully mitigate for the effects of urbanization. So that kind of hydraulic baseline question really needs to be developed in the context of the watershed conditions that exist. So in that sense, I think the current use of the term pre-development and pre-project have been confusing, but I don't think it's really appropriate for us to redefine it. What we at the Water Board staff level have committed to doing is using a more consistent terminology with clear definitions, and we've provided a supplemental sheet in regards to the terminology and how we would prefer to use it in the future.
I'd like to jump in on this one because this is something that every time we have one of these, there's all kinds of confusion with the folks who are enrolling and with certainly with me. I often use these terms interchangeably, erroneously. And so I'm wondering, instead of just putting out a statement of what you guys mean by each of these terms and then just writing your staff report using the terms, at least for a while, there'd be some way, when you write the term pre-construction or pre-development, you could actually write the definition next to it every time so that it's really clear to all of us which one you're talking about. And then maybe in 5 years we'll all learn what they really mean and never confuse them ever, ever, ever again. They're just the way they're set up. The words themselves just invite confusion, because they can all mean exactly the same thing if you want them to, or they can mean different things. So
I think we can commit to doing that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Mr. O'Malley.
Thank you. And I had actually came and observed your board discussing these words for over an hour when you were talking about Salinas when I was in the audience, and I was confused then. I worked with staff and noticed that different words were used throughout the report with different definitions in different places, and I think that resulted in defining the terms, and I'm still confused. So it may just be my newness, but I think it's very important to differentiate what these terms, how we're using them, because I think it's creating some unintended consequences. And I go back to the example of a dilapidated parking lot that could be improved, and we would do a better job. It would be post-project a better solution no matter how you evaluated it, but it won't be as good as the shoemash or the pre-construction. And I think staff whenever I try to pin down, agree that you would like to see improvement, then we got into discussion of, well, what percentage improvement? And, well, it depends on the geology of a particular area. So, but I think we've got to pin this down. And to me, I think one of the speakers mentioned the definition of immediately prior to a project. I think that was very helpful. It's like, that's, I think, what we're talking about, and having that hydrologic baseline. And I do agree. You need to use the definition each time you use the term, because I think cities are in agreement, and we want to do something better, but it tends to get into a circular argument. So please keep working on that. I think we're in agreement. With that, I did want to jump back, as I realized I probably should inject my comments as we're going along, how you're doing with staff report. And I did want to agree with Mrs. Hunter on the education piece, that I think the public education and public involvement parallel items that, you know, we need to be working towards consensus, and I think you can do that through this education process as well, and maybe have some more specific guidelines rather than saying, well, again, that word commit to doing something every year for 5 years. So I think if there are some specifics, I think the public health model has some good education examples of doing some things in that area of preventative medicine, in a sense. So think of a parallel that maybe we could draw into the physical science a little bit. So thank you for letting me make a couple of comments.
Sure. Well, what is it, pre-project or pre-development? What is the baseline that you really want to use?
Okay. The way we're, first off, there are these terms are being used throughout the nation in reference to hydromodification control, and you see it referenced
right.
in EPA. What the Water Board staff has proposed is that healthy watersheds are a goal of ours to preserve and to maintain the function and integrity of our watersheds. Obviously, a watershed that is in a shoemash or a pre-Columbian condition would be healthy, presumably. It's vulnerable to natural disturbance, but effectively it's in a natural state. We consider that healthy.
So I would consider that pre-development.
Okay, and that is in fact the more common definition
okay.
applied. So this pre-development context is there as a baseline condition. In the context of new greenfield development on the outskirts of any town, converting a ranch, for example, to 1,000 homes, the hydrologic baseline there should be considered as something closer to the pre-development condition. In an infill environment where there's been substantial alteration of the urban landscape to the point really of no return in terms of returning hydrologic processes, natural hydrologic processes, there has to be some acknowledgement that a pre-development baseline is not appropriate. So it gets back to Mr. O'Malley's suggestion, how good is good enough? And in that respect, we still put out this concept of pre-development as a baseline, not that you need to achieve that, but you need to recognize what, in fact, you started with. And frankly, you know, cities are all trying to address this through applicability criteria. They're saying, within this existing context, we not only have hydrology that has adjusted to the urbanized impacts, so we now have a system that really isn't unraveling in many cases. It's stabilized. It doesn't have natural disturbance anymore, but it also doesn't have ongoing degradation as a result of urbanization because it's fully built out and the system is, in effect, adjusted to it. So in that context, why would you want to go back in time and, you know, sort of restore hydraulic conditions when they're not going to have any fundamental improvement over the existing hydrology? That's an open question. And certainly, why would you want to do that if it's going to cost a lot of money and be cost prohibitive to redevelopment? So the challenge for us and for the municipalities is to find that intermediate place where they're improving, where improvements are achievable and result in actual water quality improvement, but they aren't completely giving up on the hydrology of an urban area. I mean, frankly, you just can't give urbanized areas a free ticket to continue with the strategy of stormwater runoff management that they've been using. You need to evaluate the context they're in. In the Central Coast, we don't really have those fully, completely urbanized context of, say, the Bay Area, you know, some of the East Coastern cities. We have close to it, but we've still got some undeveloped areas. We still have intact processes in our hydraulic, in our water bodies, that we need to really understand the effects of those.
So the pre-development is the target, and the pre-project might be more of a practical target in some situations in an urbanized area where it's just not feasible to achieve pre-development. Does that sum it up?
Yeah. And then what do you call that intermediate place where, like, there's a ranch or a farm that's had some impact, but it's closer to natural than urbanized?
In that context, the pre-development baseline is actually appropriate, mm-hmm. but you can have off-ramps, you can have exemptions or qualifications to that, and examples of that are actually included in our resolution. It says there will be no change in pre-development hydrology unless you can demonstrate that the downstream water bodies are protected.
Okay.
So none of this is absolute. There's exceptional language or language that provides exceptions. So I think the fear is that, and frankly, I think it's to some interests' advantage to kind of paint this as one thing because it's a little more easy to confront as an optical. But frankly, we've demonstrated considerable flexibility in discussing all of these things with municipalities. And there's only so much you can do before people are satisfied that there's an understanding of the context that they're working in.
Since we're kind of in learning mode and...
Well, I didn't want to give up on that topic yet.
I know.
We're
oh.
coming back. Okay.
I'm still on this topic, but I don't want to take too much time. But on page 4 of the supplemental, the second supplemental sheet that we gave you this morning, we made a very earnest attempt to explain exactly what we're talking about really simply, including defining the term with the footnote to ensure that we achieve better communication about it in the way Mr. Shallcross suggested. And I was going to read it, but I won't. But I just want you to have it to refer back to. Again, it simply states what we're talking about and the terms.
Okay. Mr. O'Malley?
Yes, and I think this came from me finding these three terms in the report and asking Roger what you intended by them. And I'm still feeling we're making this tougher than it is. How I understand, let's call it pre-development being used, is pre any human intervention, in a sense. And how we're defining pre-project is immediately before the current project under consideration. I think there's a real concern that if we don't get this right, my concern is new construction tends to have better techniques used and is not an issue. Cities are very involved with redevelopment, where we're taking something that exists that's been a lot of intervention maybe 20, 30 years ago. Just by redoing it, it's going to have less impact than it currently does because of just simply better design techniques. So I think there's a concern by cities that you're being held to a higher standard by looking at this pre-development definition, and I think what you're wanting to say is, you know, pre-project, I think, is the clearest to me. It's like whatever exists, whether if it's pristine property and now we're building a new project, then that pre-project you compare to that pristine. If it's redevelopment, the pre-project comparison as to what existed man-made currently. So it seems like pre-project works in either case, and it would be clear. I think as soon as you use the word development to cities, they're thinking redevelopment and brownfields and things like that. So it might be helpful to incorporate pre-project in with some of the language suggested by the speakers, and I'll just let that go. I think the concern is, too, is how much is better, of course, depends on a particular project, and I don't know, or particular geology of a site, too. So I'm skeptical if you say, well, it's got to be 40% better than a pre-project. Well, some areas might be easier than others versus allowing for some in lieu or off-site improvements in exchange. And I don't know if we want to get into that here.
Well, Mr. O'Malley, are you looking at the supplemental sheet that we gave you this morning, or the one you received the other day?
That's the wrong one.
This says okay. May 8th, and it says pre-construction, pre-development.
Okay, the one with the chart achieves the clarification. I think we have pretty much gotten there on use of the terms and the words and their definition. But we additionally provided some information that further clarifies how we're applying those terms in the context of applying them and not choosing one definition that applies everywhere for all sites and in all cities, but rather how you would finesse or nuance the definitions appropriate to site conditions in the context of what's necessary to achieve the best water quality conditions for an individual city.
Okay.
For my two bits, I do agree, concur with him that.
I think
that
the issue
pre-project would be a better use of the word or the definition.
Well, I just wanted to chime in on this because sometimes the terminology that we use here may be used in a city. But the two different terminologies mean two different things.
That's the problem.
And I think what some of us board members are asking is that you give the definition each time, as Mr. Shellcross said, maybe after a period of 100 years, that we would finally understand what those definitions mean. But I think it'd also be helpful to the people that are trying to put these swamps together that they understand what you're trying to say by your definitions of this exact word, because in development, it doesn't mean the same thing to cities and developers as development would mean to you as a staff person. And I know I have times hard to grasp some of those because sometimes the acronyms are also confusing because in the real world, those acronyms might mean something completely different, but when you throw those out, people are thinking one thing when you're actually trying to say something else. So I think we need to have clarification of definitions.
Turn on Elmo, and just I think this paragraph is fine, personally, the way staff has described it's the anticipated use of these.
Number six?
It's on page 4.
Yeah. And I just have a question for staff. It's my understanding that regardless of the term you use, the point is that the city, according to the way you've done your required revisions, is that they will have the opportunity to determine what criteria apply to projects that are redevelopment projects themselves. They can sort that out and propose something. They aren't. The staff today isn't saying you have to do it a certain way, 40% or 80%, or you're totally exempt or whatever. It's up to the staff. Is that correct, you guys?
Well, that's what the paragraph says.
Yeah.
It gives the entity a lot of flexibility and not to be pinned down to one definition.
Which paragraph are you talking about? Starting with staff.
Where staff is not proposing.
Item number 6.
Yeah. 4.
4?
Yeah.
It's on page four. It's that right there, under where it says response. Staff is not proposing the city always use the pre-development hydrologic baseline condition when matching runoff patterns from a site. The city must evaluate what portions of the city, and that's going to take the city time to do, and on what types of projects will have what level of impact on the city's water bodies and in the surrounding watershed. Again, that allows the city to look at this and to develop how it wants to implement these criteria.
It sounds like
the city must use the appropriate hydrologic baseline to protect beneficial uses and not cause further impact to the watershed or ocean when analyzing runoff flow patterns for new projects. The appropriate hydrologic baseline may be different on a project-by-project basis. However, the city must account for the cumulative effects of development in their watershed. Mr. O'Malley.
Well, you're an attorney. You can help me. So not always and usually, I think, sounds like we have to, folks just need to do a lot of research to pin down in a particular case what would be required.
Right, and the staff is not proposing that this board say exactly what that is. That is that the city, that's where the MEP comes in, that the city can evaluate for itself what is best in their circumstances to protect water quality given the current baseline, whatever it is, whether for a site it's pre-developed, it's quote pre-development, meaning essentially undeveloped, or if it's already been developed and now they're redeveloping it. They can do that for themselves with the knowledge they have of their own community and hydrology and everything. And so whether it's, I think it's a good idea to be consistent with the terminology, but in terms of the actual what they do, that's up to them to make that those choices. And the proposal by staff would allow them the opportunity to revisit what they've already done and augment it as needed. So.
Dr. Hunter.
I just want to add briefly. I would not agree to eliminating the use of pre-development, even though it suggests or implies achieving some kind of impossible standard, because what we're left with then is pre-project, and that suggests to me that we are holding the status quo. I think that's misleading. I appreciate the comment that techniques today, construction design and techniques today, are improved over 20, 50 years ago when many of these city infrastructure was going in place. So we would anticipate that there could be improvements, but could be improvements is incidental to, you know, what the goal is of redevelopment. But with these standards in place and with the context being this range of considerations between a fully functioning hydrological system, what we can expect to see recovered in an urban setting, and where that line falls in terms of the staff's technical expertise and guidance in working with the city in achieving these standards. And I suspect that the city has demonstrated that they're very interested in green infrastructure. So I'm thinking they're moving in the right direction. But to just drop the term pre-development, I think would be a real disservice to the effort so far across the board.
Okay. Couple of suggestions that I have. One has to do with this the concept that Mr. O'Malley raised, and that was setoffs. And I haven't really heard that before from our board in a discussion of
in lieu.
Yeah, like an in lieu.
Offside.
Yeah, which I
offside
think
project.
An offside project. And I don't think we have considered that, thought about it.
Oh yes.
Oh, we have?
It's definitely something. It's in the toolbox of approaches to managing hydro modification.
Okay.
We aren't directing any cities to go there necessarily. Frankly, though, it's something that takes a lot to establish. It takes considerable administrative effort to set up an effective in lieu fee program based on the experience that I've heard of from other places that have done this. And then you have to also establish kind of your water quality objective relative to doing this. So in order to determine the benefits of an in lieu fee program for hydro modification management, you really have to look into the broad area in which the benefits and the in lieu fee trade-offs would be occurring, and that is going to be at a watershed scale. So for example, if there's an in lieu fee program set up that says that, well, it's just too expensive to achieve the goal here, we'll just collect a fee instead, and we'll take that fee and we'll apply it over here where it's needed. You have to do the analysis to know where that other place is, and so that implies a more considerable effort that we suggest is going to be part of developing the long-term hydro modification program.
But that is something that an entity could decide
Absolutely.
To do, and I mean,
absolutely,
you're characterizing that as maybe very burdensome, but that is an option.
It is definitely an option.
Yeah, and you're open-minded
Absolutely.
To having that presented in the right context.
What has been suggested so far by one city in particular was that they could just start that program up, and we have no basis for why that would be effective, how they would accomplish that, and so we've said, you know, you might want to consider that for your long-term strategy.
Okay.
So we've
the other comment that I have and suggestion, and I know I mentioned this before, I think that these five cities need to be collectively permitted somehow. I mean, close in time. Mm-hmm. I think that Grover Beach has indicated it wants to work collaboratively with the other four, and I think that we could kind of help that by getting the others enrolled sooner than later, because I think part of the problems we always see with these swamps is money, which is a real issue, and lack of resources. And I really think that if they had a coordinator that handled these areas, and they're so geographically close, I mean, this could be one city, essentially, that there's a huge synergy there that should be tapped into. You know, all the public outreach, all these things that they need to be done could be done very effectively in a five-area region plan. So where are we with the other four? Does Eddie, do you have an idea?
Good idea.
I'm asking, sorry, can you review what the five cities are? There's Pismo,
well, there's
Grande,
a Royal
Grover.
Yeah.
What are the other two?
Oceano.
Okay, so CSD, uh-huh.
Oceano, there's Grover Beach, Royal Grande, is it Pismo Beach?
Yeah, Pismo.
And who's the fifth?
Halcyon.
Shell Beach.
Okay, so there's only three municipalities, and the other two sound like they're probably under San Luis Obispo County jurisdiction. So San Luis Obispo County already is enrolled under the Phase 2 permit.
Okay.
Pismo Beach and Aurora Grande are both will most likely be enrolled by the end of this month.
By the end of this month?
Yeah. So.
Okay, so they're...
And Oceano CSD has already been enrolled about a month ago.
Oh. But they're similar-sized communities. Didn't they have issues with cost and,
you know, that's really for the communities to do.
Well, I know.
I mean, if they're smart, they'll get together and do it.
Yeah.
If they don't want to, that's fine. I mean, I don't have any. I don't think
right.
we need to spend a lot of
You're
time
right.
on it.
You're right. Enough said. Okay. Any other board comments or questions on this? Okay. All right. Mr. Briggs, then. Do we need final staff?
Are you done with all the responses to comments? And one of the changes that we talked about was actually Lisa McCann suggested that the board provide some latitude to actually make that change with the city subsequently instead of doing some wordsmithing here, and Dr. Hunter was agreeable to that. Did we have other specific changes then other than the responses that you provided?
I think so.
Okay, so our recommendation stands.
Okay. Mr. Hodgson.
I think one of the wonderful things about us human beings is that we've never seen a project or a document that we can't find something to improve on. And this process can go on for many years. I think that staff has done a good job of reinforcing the fact that we really want to work with the city, and that if things aren't working, staff is perfectly happy to discuss how to make it function properly or how we can work with the city. And there's also the mechanism, if the city finds that there's something that's onerous in this document or is just not feasible and they cannot work with staff, they can certainly come back to this board. And I think that you can see the sense of the board is that we really want to work with the city to get the job done. So I want to see this swamp approved and started. And I would love to see the city come back as it discovers parts of the swamp that are not feasible or that do not function properly. We all have a bit of a learning curve, so many of these swamps are fairly new. And there are undoubtedly going to be aspects of them that aren't going to work properly. We need that experience, and the board needs to be told what doesn't work properly so that we can improve in the future. So with those comments, if you are ready, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
Yeah. Any other comments or suggestions before we...
Was there any question on that?
Yes.
Any consideration of the subset of a 2 years on the hydro modification component? There's some question about having more time to work on that aspect.
Yeah, that's not staff's recommendation, but
so if we're close to a motion, that's why I thought I'd bring it up.
Right.
If
there's
any staff said that if the year comes up and they haven't accomplished it, then they'll talk to staff and tell them why and see if that's reasonable. Isn't that what you guys said?
Yeah, we didn't propose any extension.
You had to go beat them up or something.
Yeah, no extension proposed there.
Yeah.
I pointed out that the city is closer in many respects to having acceptable interim standards than many cities who only have 1 year. So.
Yeah, but the caveat, I think, to that was with some kind of justification for the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, real justification.
So if there's strong support that the board really wants to hear how this is going and is open to some suggestions as they go, then I'll second the motion.
Okay. All right. We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. And... we're going to break for lunch.
Break for lunch, and we're going to go to closed session. However, we have an announcement to make prior to going to lunch, and that is that, as you might sense, we're running a bit late in our schedule here. We have a lot of cards for various items before us, a lot of cards for both the Los Osos CSD item and for the Wild Cherry Canyon funding item, and the... Chair has indicated that we're going to try to limit the Los Osos comment to an hour, so we'll figure out what that translates into in terms of the public comment. We have invited the county and the water purveyors to give a presentation, so that'll take some time. And then I think that principle would apply for the funding item also. So I wanted to mention this before lunch so that you can, if you've had something that you've prepared as far as comments, you might look at trimming that down to get down to a couple of minutes or in that ballpark.
And the reason specifically for the Los Osos matter is that there's no board action going to be taken. It's simply a status report that the board asked to be presented on a very specific topic with the Los Osos wastewater project, and that was the project's effect on saltwater intrusion, not on other issues that some people may be contemplating that they want to talk about. But that's really what the board wanted to get some feedback on, was saltwater intrusion and the proposed wastewater project. So with that in mind, we're going to limit discussion overall to 1 hour, pardon me, public comment to 1 hour. And I'm just going to divide up the time by the number of speaker cards I have and let everyone have an equal amount of time. So we'll be back at, what's a good time, 1:15? Can we do that?
Does that work as far as closed session? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, 1:15. We're going to work very hard to do that.
We're coming back to the county item.
The Santa Barbara County item, we're going to just